Now from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is 3 and Out with Nate Hodges, Houston Kress, and Davey Hudson. Many imitators, no duplicators. Fan Run Radio.
My vision for 3 and Out is we want to be a big, fast, dominating, aggressive, relentless
radio show that everybody
in the SEC wants to
listen to.
That's my goal. These guys realize that we want to change the culture. They're hungry. These guys are ready to get started, and I'm excited about it. All right. Your expectations, all right, aren't near what mine are.
All right.
Our program has the history, the facilities, the tradition, and the resources to play with anyone, anytime, and that's what we're going to do again.
We can dance if we want to. We can leave your plans behind. Because your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, well, there are no plans of mine. Say, we can go where we want to, place where they will never find. And we can act like we come from out of this world, leave the real one far behind. We can dance.
Welcome into the Fan Run Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, Friday edition of 3 and Out. It's a game day edition of 3 and Out. Of course, brought to you by the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union, as they do for all games, pre, game day, and post. We'll be mentioning them throughout the show. I'm Houston Kress alongside Davey Hudson, production assistant Julia, back from an exotic location that I will not name on air. Privacy, it counts around here. It's a very important thing. We don't want to put anyone's business in the street unless it's Davey's. Davey, how's that
Sounds
bracket?
Fair.
How's that bracket, bud?
It was busted after game one, so.
But what exactly?
It was a nice long-lived bracket challenge.
What determines, like, when the bracket is officially busted? Like,
I'd say if you're out, like, six Sweet 16 teams.
Okay.
Or, you know, maybe like, you know, one. No, I'd say six Sweet 16. This is like day one or two,
yeah,
right? Six Sweet 16 teams, three Elite Eight teams, and two Final Four, whichever comes first. That's probably your order for the first 2 days.
I only lost one Elite Eight.
Yesterday. Oh, okay. Okay. How many Sweet 16s did you lose?
Two.
Okay. You're not busted. You're not busted. That's not a bust.
Me and John, or John and I, if I already use proper grammar, were
it's
at
early.
Hops and Hollers last night, and we were playing trivia. That could have gone a little bit better. Some of the phrasing on the questions, not going to get into that, but we were watching Nevada play Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see what the hype was around the Wolfpack all year long. I mean, I guess if like Caleb Martin was playing well, that's something. But he, for a good stretch of the game, he was like, he got the 3 of 16 shooting. His form is jacked up. I know John's going to be complaining about it.
I was stunned at how bad his shot looked.
It was rough.
I was stunned. It was kind of gross. They did a pretty good job though. Nice comeback. Florida came out starting the second half kind of rolling. They built that lead up. Did they get it to 20?
It was close.
It was close if it wasn't.
Get there.
And then they kind of battled back and cut it to, was it 4 or 5 with like 5 minutes to play?
They got to within 3, if not.
It might have been
tied.
It might have been
was
like
it tied
1 or 2.
At one point?
I don't know. It was a good comeback. And apparently that's what they do. I heard all the commentators talking, you know, during halftime and in the first half. This is kind of what Nevada does. They'll look like they don't know how to play basketball one half, and then they'll look like the Golden State Warriors the second half. For a little bit there in the second half, they did. But
yeah.
Florida. And the SEC figuring out ways to win. Florida, victorious. LSU, no problems with Yale.
I
missed that one.
On Florida.
In my head.
I will say that them winning is not the worst thing if you're a Tennessee fan, because that just guarantees you at least a few, 1 year, if not 2 more years of Mike White.
Good point by you. We love Mike White.
I don't know
here.
What his contract looks like, but, I mean, he does have a very good tournament record.
He is pretty good in the tournament.
So.
Yeah, it's always weird when I watch. Like, because this must be what teams feel like when we had Butch Jones and when we had Dooley. Like, you want to see it just explode, but then it's, but if they lose at Kentucky, they might fire him. It's like, if they lose this 20-point lead to Nevada, they might fire him. So you got to kind of look out for number one. I mentioned, obviously, Florida and LSU. Auburn, they hung on.
Oh, gosh.
SEC, 3-0. They got four teams to play today. The Big Ten yesterday went 4-0.
Yeah, I was not high on the Big Ten. I know you were not either.
No.
And
No. I mean, let's be real. Like, Michigan was not going to lose. Michigan State was not going to lose.
That's true. They had two versus 15 games.
Maryland, though. Or wait, are they Big Ten basketball?
Yeah, they are.
I always get confused when they switch around so much.
Yeah, they used to be
That's
the ACC.
Right.
They barely
that one stunk.
God.
And then Minnesota was all over Louisville from Jump Street and just kind of cruised to a 10-point win. Congrats to the Patino family for avenging the father. I'm sure there's a Greek mythology reference in there somewhere that I could try to make. I will not. But Minnesota, 86, Louisville, who I was high on all year, got the 7 seed. First time I saw them on film, I said, well, that's an NCAA tournament team. That's a pretty good team.
I was like, they'll get it together.
Dang it.
You know, man, but that when they blew that 23-point loss earlier in the season.
Duke, man, Duke broke them.
That ended their season.
Thanks, Davey. You busted a lot of brackets with that one, champ. Michigan State did win by, it ended up being 11. Bradley was hanging around, though. We were watching that one over at Elkmont. Oh, so dreamy that Brad could get that done. Poor Brad. Nothing can replace Brad. Except now Michigan State, they in the next round.
True.
They'll actually be there. So Brad got
replaced.
I guess
the biggest upset of yesterday be...
There were some, but yesterday went a lot of chalk yesterday.
Yeah.
A lot of as expected.
No 13, 14, 15, 16 seeds won. The biggest one, which I don't even think many would consider it an upset.
No, this was just the way they had to be seeded.
Murray State defeated Marquette 83-64.
We need to talk about the Ja Morant show later, for sure.
Stock is rising.
I mean, I think he's probably maxed out for himself. Like, he'll go two, but holy bleep, he put on a show.
That was the first triple-double in the NCAA tournament since, oh gosh, I'm trying to think of the year.
It was first one by a guard in forever.
Drawing a blank. I guess Draymond Green, I believe. So that would have been...
Well, there's only like 10 all-time, maybe.
Yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
the list is a who's who of NBA, you know, all-stars.
Like Oscar Robertson.
And then now you have Ja Morant, who, by the way, I mean, not to say just, but I mean, he only had 17 points. I think a lot of people would have said, oh, Morant's only going to have 17 points, and they would not have felt very good about Murray State. That didn't matter. They won by 19 in a very balanced first and second half. Ja Morant, we'll get to that later, but the magic number was not the 17 points he had, but it was the 16 assists. That's one man.
Wow.
16 assists. They scored 83. He scored or assisted on 53 points yesterday. That is stupid. That is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. Right. Everyone knows him as a scorer and a flyer. And don't worry, he did give you a stupid, thunderous two-hand tomahawk over some poor guy dunk.
You said 53 is what he scored or assisted on?
Mm-hmm.
Assisted on? Marquette only had 64 points.
I know.
So,
I mean... He was. I mean, that's kind of really
like
was a one man show.
I'm like playing my player in NBA 2K, just scoring and assisting.
He was getting he was fourth on his own team in shots taken. He's going to go number two in the draft, and he had three guys on his own team yesterday shoot more than he did, and the other starter had 8, and he had 9. And then guys off the bench, no one got more than 2. But for an idea of the kind of game he played. It was very clear that Marquette was focused on making sure that Ja Morant did not score 50, so he just assisted or scored on 53. That was a baller performance by Ja Morant. One of the most impressive performances by far in the NCAA tournament, maybe ever, but without question yesterday, he kind of stole the show. Florida State got UVM 76-69. That one was probably a little closer late than,
yeah,
than some people expected.
Hung around.
They hit some threes late to kind of close in the score. But, you know, Florida State's pretty good. So who does Florida State gets Murray State next, right? That'll be a good matchup.
Yes.
That'll be exciting. We mentioned Florida over Nevada. They hold off the Wolfpack after kind of burning a huge lead. Kentucky minus P.J. Washington yesterday absolutely laid it on Abilene Christian, 79-44. Abilene Christian, well, that, you hate to see it.
God, I mean, like the line was like 22?
Seven? Oh, was it that high?
Oh.
It was up there. Yeah. I couldn't remember. Villanova did get by SMC. I guess that's to be expected. It was really close, though, 61-57. One of the other impressive performances from yesterday, Gonzaga, 87, FDU, 49. So they figured it out. Fairleigh Dickinson, the run ends at one. Good year. Nice work. But Gonzaga looked like the real deal. Kentucky looked like the real deal, especially when you take into account P.J. Washington was rolling around on a, what do they call those? You know the one-leg scooter I'm talking about?
I don't know if they have a technical term.
Is it just
a
leg,
technical term.
A leg scooter? Do we know what I'm, you know what I'm talking about? Do those have a
feel free to tweet in at us if you know, because I don't.
It's like a little cart. They have brakes on them.
Yeah, they,
I mean, scooter makes
over.
Sense. Does a scooter have to have two wheels? Because I think this has three or four. What's like the, what's the ruling on a scooter? I think of scooter, I think two. Two wheels. Two for scoot. Also, it's a hard cast. Can we talk about this? This broke after the show yesterday. He's in a hard cast, wheeling in a little scooter cart. Is there any way he plays tomorrow?
They say it's preliminary, but, I mean, that can't be a good sign.
Like, usually, like, the day before, 2 days before you're supposed to be doing something, you're supposed to be putting weight and pressure and re-strengthening the area. No weight whatsoever, and you have a cart.
Also,
those carts seem like they could be dangerous.
I just think this has been a weird way in which they've handled at least talking about this injury. Because it just kind of broke all of a sudden. And I mean, I guess for like...
And you know what Cal's going to say regardless of what the actual injury is, which is exactly this. But it is peculiar.
Mason House says it's called a knee scooter. This is in his area of...
Knees, just that's it, a knee scooter?
Knee scooter.
But it also works for ankle sprains. I got another text that I can't read that calls it a bleep trolley.
Okay.
A female dog trolley. So if you're using one, I'm assuming the connotation here is that you're in fact a bleep. Not good for Kentucky. They looked fine yesterday. Didn't really matter. But man, if you're a Kentucky fan, you are just chewing your fingernails off, wondering if this is legit or if this is just, you know, some precautionary measure, and he's going to get out on the court today and maybe try to give it a go. Yikes.
Chase Best also says knee scooter.
Knee scooter it is.
Oh, well, now Sawyer Chase Best says they call it a knee rover. I kind of like
rover.
The rover.
See, I like rover
better.
Because rover can have as many wheels as you want, if I'm not mistaken.
Like I'd take Mason and Chase's word for it, because, I mean, they're DDPs, DPTs. So
you want a DDT?
DPT.
Do you want a diamond cutter?
No.
Okay.
Good.
Moving on. Wofford 84, Seton Hall 68. Wofford now advances to face Kentucky.
Fletcher McGee.
Did he break it?
Talked
did
about.
Did he get his? Did he get his four?
I don't know, but they shot 13 of 28 from three.
God, 13. That's amazing.
48.1%. Lighten it up.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Defense wasn't bad either. Only giving up 68 to Seton Hall. Let's not forget Seton Hall beat Kentucky earlier in the year. They had another nice win. Did Seton Hall? Early in the year. I mean, that's like not a terrible team, and Wofford just completely disposed of them. If I'm Kentucky, not knowing P.J. Washington's future over the next 2 days and seeing Wofford step into the building tomorrow, not feeling great.
Yeah, I think Fletcher McGee broke it. He was 7 of 12 from 3.
I'd say 7 of 12 would get him to 4. Not a bad day for the kid from three-point land. Nice job. Nice job by Fletcher McGee. Montana looked completely outmatched last night against Michigan. That game was not even fun to watch. Syracuse does not survive the suspension. They fall to Baylor, 78-69. Is that the... So who gets Baylor now? Is that Virginia?
Gonzaga.
Okay. That's right, because they ship Syracuse out west. Poor folks. And then Purdue, in what I can only describe as the most Purdue game of all time, gets the win 61-48 over Old Dominion. Not a bad slate of games yesterday. It's kind of boring.
Yeah.
I said the first day I wasn't very thrilled with the rundown. I thought the games were kind of meh, and you got a lot of chalk yesterday. Nothing really that surprised you, I don't think. And I mean, maybe Minnesota over Louisville as far as just like a surprise.
Like, yeah, I mean, I could see them winning the game. I just didn't expect it to be in that sort of fashion.
I mean, even that it was 10 was not indicative of the game. Minnesota had a big lead. Louisville could do nothing. Started to hit a few threes late. I mean, everyone wanted Yale to beat LSU. That score, you know, LSU gets in by 5, but LSU really, I mean, they kind of had a pretty decent lead throughout. Yale hits a couple there late to kind of close it down. Yale shot, at one point, I think they were 2 of 28 from 3. Is that right? 3 of 28?
I remember seeing them at 4 of 30.
Yeah. I mean, it was bad. And then over the final, like, 5 minutes of the game, they actually shot it well. If they had shot half as well as they did over the last 5 minutes, they beat LSU by 10. But Yale, boy, they were chucking it. And they didn't start hitting until late, but LSU, again, survives. I mean, I'm trying to, like, none of these really are surprising at all. I mean,
Auburn and New Mexico State.
I mean, that game was about what I thought it would be. I thought New Mexico State, I mean, they won 30 games this year. They're scrappy. They don't like to lose. Auburn, I mean, that one might need its own segment. Some of the dumbest basketball at the end of that game by both teams, and somehow Auburn survives fouling a three-point shooter up 2.
I don't think we mentioned it, but Kansas beat Northeastern, so they'll face Auburn tomorrow.
I did not mention Kansas. As far as surprises, I'm surprised Kansas just beat Northeastern that bad. Maybe I shouldn't be. Kansas, we've kind of, you know, since Azubuki went down, they've kind of been up and down, but to beat anybody in the NCAA tournament by 34 when you're not a 1 or a 2 seed is impressive. Kansas, 87, Northeastern, 53. And as you mentioned, they now catch Auburn in a 4-5 matchup in round 2. Did you see Bruce Pearl after the game? We'll get into a little bit of this later, but saying you're 1-1 away from the Sweet 16. In case you guys didn't know how the tournament worked. How would you grade day 1? A-minus, B?
No, it's not. I mean, like, there's been a lot better day ones in the last 10 years of me watching the tournament.
I mean, if
I would give it, like, a B-minus.
If we're not counting a 9-10, how many upsets were there yesterday by the seed line?
You had
3? Florida, Murray State. Again, I really don't consider it one, but it was. Is that it? And Minnesota. So you had 3. The favorite, just on the seed line, we're talking 13-3 yesterday. I mean, there were some good basketball games, but whew, that's like a lot of people who don't know a lot about basketball are probably having pretty good brackets right now because they just went numbers.
Yeah.
This is why you can't have a perfect bracket. This is why you don't fill out a bracket, folks. Yesterday going chalk probably housed a lot of people's brackets.
Yeah, my cousin, it was like his first time ever filling out a bracket. He's like leading our group of people back home.
Because he just went low number each time?
Yeah, he called
me. Is he 13-3? Just kidding. You don't have to actually
But I was just like, he called me and he got mad like after the Louisville guys. Like, he's like, I wanted a perfect bracket. I was
okay.
You do realize you have a better chance of winning the Powerball, right? I was like, this isn't going to happen for you, man. Like, you're not going to have a perfect bracket.
I'll check during the break. I am interested to see how many brackets are still perfect after day one. I mean, I feel like over the last few years, people have been more inclined to pick upsets because basketball has just been pretty crazy. And I'll be honest, I didn't like yesterday's slate of games because I didn't see much intrigue, and that's kind of what you got, which is, I think, surprising because I think going into this tournament, I was kind of wide open as far as, like, anything can happen. This is just one of those weird years where you've got, you know, mid-majors that are really, really good getting at-large bids, and some teams that are typically really good, like Kansas, for example, kind of struggling right now. Kansas was a bad example for yesterday, again, because they just put it on Northeastern. But yesterday, kind of a boring day of basketball.
Do the no big upsets scare you as far as today?
Yeah. Yeah. It does. Not for Tennessee. At all, in fact. Not for us, but for other you know, other people. No, I always like it when there's one big one before you play so that everyone kind of can focus on that one. You can say, hey, look what happened to these guys. They didn't take it seriously. Like if Bradley had been able to get by Michigan State, which for a while it looked like they might. Michigan State went on a hell of a run over the last, what, 6-7 minutes of that game to just to spread it out. I mean, Bradley had a lead. Bradley was looking really good for a while.
And here comes Izzo. Belmont was going to pull it off.
Man, we all really wanted that one. That turnover and not getting a shot off on that late possession, that was just brutal. That's a brutal way for any game to end, but especially when it's the game that ends your season. Felt really bad for Belmont. Hell of a season, but that stunk. That was painful. Because Maryland, I don't think, is very good. Like, this ain't your this ain't your daddy's Maryland team, you know?
Like, I'm not looking forward to that Maryland-LSU game. Like, I just don't expect a whole lot from it.
Meaning you think LSU's going to coast? Or you just don't think it'll be good basketball?
I just don't think it'll be good basketball. Like, we were watching LSU yesterday, and again, you said it, and we've kind of been talking about it all year. LSU's best shot, just shoot it, and then just go get the rebound.
Just touch the rim. Touch the rim and let the seven-footers go up and grab it and put it back in the net. That's pretty much what they did yesterday. Because Yale did, I thought, a pretty good job on the guards. You know, they were kind of all over Waters. Waters couldn't penetrate. Smart seemed like he was on the bench the whole game. And so what did they do? They just chucked blind shots at the rim. Here comes Naz Reid. Here comes Bigby Williams. They survive Yale. I want to see their final number. I want to see how many. They shot 37 threes.
How many did they make?
Eight. So they hit.
Four of those came in like the last
So they hit
minutes.
Five of their last six. You said they were 3 of 31?
I saw them at 4 of 30.
4 of 30. Okay. So they hit 4 of their last 7. If they had shot like that, they win. And I just wanted LSU to go home. I'm kind of just sick of the drama.
That's not a team that can advance very far in the tournament, just watching them yesterday.
I don't think so either. I don't think Yale's very good, but they're not, you know, LSU is good enough to get by a team like that. Plenty more basketball, though. Today's the day. Today's the day, David. We get to take on Toothpaste U, 2:45. We get to watch Cincinnati, Iowa.
Right before.
What? Yeah, 12:15, same court. So 30 minutes after that one, 30. I don't know what the answer is. Is it 30, 35 minutes? So we'll watch that game. We'll flip around to some others. And then it's back to the Vols at 2:45. Again, like I said, I think today's slate infinitely better than yesterday's. We have to break down Tennessee Colgate. We did a little bit of that yesterday. But some numbers are coming in. Some numbers are changing. Will Warren's got some stuff up I want to talk about. But congratulations on surviving day one. I'm sorry about your bracket, though.
Oh, I'm fine. Like,
it's not a big deal.
Like I told I peaked in 2015. Like I just do it
cool,
as a
man.
Formality at this point.
Yeah, it's just you just do it for fun.
Yeah.
Did you end up that one where you were going to pay money? Did you end up getting in on that one?
I do feel fine about that because I have a different national champion than everyone else, and they all have the same national champion.
Who did you pick? Am I allowed to know? Because if you picked someone that everyone else has, I think I know who they picked, so I'm very interested to see who you picked. Unless you picked your team and they picked their team, and not the other way around. Who's your team, Davey? Davey?
I'm not wearing their shirt right now.
We're going to break. Welcome back, 3 It Out, on this game day Friday edition of the program. Breaking down all of yesterday's NCAA tournament action and previewing what's to come today. Much better slate, in my opinion. I guess I'm selfish, a little biased. Days when Tennessee plays, though, typically better in my book. Maybe that's just me. Am I wrong? Was yesterday's slate just not that great? Did it seem like we were missing some big-name star power? Is it because there were so many Big Ten games yesterday that just bore you to tears?
I don't really know.
Outside of Murray State and maybe the Auburn game, I don't. It just felt like it was lacking impact. And then 13-3 for the favorites? Come on.
There just weren't many storylines surrounding any of the games yesterday.
It's true. Are you nervous that John Morant might steal Zion's shine here in this postseason?
No, like I'm fine with that.
Are you sure? I mean, that's a pretty impressive performance, man.
Man, like,
first triple-double in the tournament since 2012.
I think I'll be all right.
We'll have to wait and see. Duke tonight, 7:10. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Sorry you have to wait so long.
It'd be all right.
I'm not at all, actually. I do want to talk about this Auburn game. Jared Harper fouls out.
Yes.
New Mexico State is down by 2. They get a wide open layup. I can't remember the player's name. It's probably a good thing because that poor kid is going to remember this for the rest of his life, and not in a good way. He passes up the wide open layup to tie the game with less than, at that point, there's less than 3.5, 4 seconds on the clock. I mean, it's the end. He kicks it out for 3. Auburn fouls the 3-point shooter. Terrible mistake. So I'm thinking, okay, you pass up the layup, but now if this guy can hit some free throws. The guy going to the line shot 78% on the year, misses the first, makes the second, which I think actually makes it tougher because now you're not sure if I should miss on purpose or making the second and missing the first was a terrible, terrible thing. Misses the third. They get the ball back, down 1, and they take a 3 that is about 5 feet long from the corner. If you go and just make that layup, you tie the game, you get Auburn into overtime without Jared Harper. Now, Bryce Brown was shooting lights out yesterday, but I cannot believe that you passed up that layup, even though it almost worked out. Hindsight 20/20, I think you just take the layup, take the 2, tie the game. Did he think maybe they were down 3?
That's possible. I've gone back and I've watched the shot or the pass in this situation.
Okay.
It was a smaller guard going to the basket, and I don't know who was in the play for Auburn at the time, but they did have a center trailing, and I thought maybe he could get a hand up and block the shot.
If
he blocks that, like, I mean, that's just a really, really athletic play.
The guy with the ball, I don't know if he can dunk. I don't know what his vertical is. Surely to God, you can get that thing off the glass before it gets tipped, and then maybe you get fouled, get an and one, or you just get fouled, go to the line for 2 free throws to tie the game. I mean, it was a good pass if you're down 3 or if there's more time on the clock, right? Like, if you're in the middle of a big comeback and your team's squashing 3s, yeah, man, make that pass all the time. But it felt like he had a step on 2 defenders and just decided, nah, we're going to go for the win. Again, the guy gets fouled shooting it. Terrell Brown was the guy who ended up going to the free throw line, and you could tell that poor kid. I've never seen someone more nervous at the free throw line in my entire life when he stepped up. He missed the first. I mean, keep in mind, still got 2 to tie the game. He missed the first, and you just knew he wasn't making both of the next ones. He was long on the first one. He was short but rolled it in on the second one, and then short with a bounce over and back out on the third. They still got the tip out by Auburn, so they get an inbounds with 1.1, which, by the way, if the ball hits out of bounds with 1.5 on the clock, even though they don't blow their whistle immediately, should they not put the 0.4 back if the ball hits out of bounds?
Yeah, I mean, like,
I was surprised. They went and checked the clock, and they were also obviously checking to make sure it was off Auburn, which I thought it was. I was watching it with somebody who disagreed. I was like, it looks like it's off his fingers the whole time. But the ball hits out of bounds with, like, 1.4 or 1.5, like, bounces, and they don't put the 0.3 or 0.4 back on the clock. I thought that was the whole reason we had replay, was to get stuff like that right. Because I know at the end of the Ole Miss game, for example, Jordan Bowden travels, and the ref raises his hand to, you know, call it, but the clock had expired before the hand got up and the whistle blew. Is it the same? I mean, it feels like out of bounds is out of bounds, and the clock should just stop as soon as it touches.
As soon as you know that it's out, whether it's no longer in play.
I mean, whether you blow your whistle or not, I don't understand how New Mexico State didn't get an extra half a second or so right there, because that could have been the difference, because you saw the poor guy who shot it. He was rushed. He was nervous. He shot this fadeaway, half-jumpy set shot that, I mean, it missed.
It went
high and right and long. It was bad.
4 feet to the right.
It was bad. Never had a shot. It just seemed like, I don't know, man. It seemed like New Mexico State really panicked once they got the game close.
I believe.
That's a team that's won 30 games this year. How are they nervous?
If that game goes to overtime, they win that game, because Auburn had somebody else foul out. And I remember, like, I mean, of course, like, you saw Bruce in the just going ballistic at times, like, especially late in that one. I mean, that's his thing. But
Harper and Spencer both fouled
okay,
out for
it was
Auburn.
Spencer. Harper, when he fouled out, it was a situation where
it was an intentional foul up three.
They're up three.
And Bruce lost his mind then. He's like, dude, not you.
Yeah.
You can't be the guy that fouls. How did we lose to them by 20? That is the most undisciplined, typical Bruce Pearl team I've ever seen. I guess that's the key. Just get them in something where it's like a tight game. Make them panic a little bit because Auburn was rattled. And New Mexico State just could not take advantage of it. Two out of three free throws. Are you kidding me?
I am officially on board for the foul up three.
Yeah, I know people don't like it because you foul. Like you don't even give the other team a chance. You just put them on the line. And it was a good move by Auburn. Did they make the first two or did they go one of two? I think they went one of two when Harper fouled out. So they made one of two on that one, and then was it Okiki that fouled the three-point shooter, or was that Spencer and that was his fifth?
I thought Spencer had already gone out at that point.
I mean, obviously, in that situation, you don't want to foul a three-point shooter, but you pick the right guy at the right time. I don't know if the foul actually impacted the shot or if he just kind of landed on him. I don't think that shot hit anything but maybe grazed the backboard.
It wasn't going in, even if there is no contact.
Yeah, New Mexico State, not a great three-point shooting team. 7 of 25 on the day. Auburn, they're kind of doing what they do. They were 12 of 31. Bryce Brown was, I thought he was better than that. He was 2 of 8, but it was Jared Harper who was 4 of 8 from 3. Auburn just continuing to have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 8 guys hit a 3 for Auburn yesterday. 7, excuse me. Wow. 7 different players hit 3s for the Tigers. They advance. Congratulations. Here's your door prize. Kansas, who looked like $1 million. I think that was probably the most entertaining game yesterday as far as intrigue. Really needed New Mexico State to go ahead and pull that one off, though. That would have been fantastic. Other than that, watching John Moran at Murray State put up that triple-double was fantastic. That kid is absolutely legit. Marquette thought they had the perfect game plan by just trapping him everywhere he went, and he would just take 2 dribbles backwards and then drive again and then kick it out to somebody for a wide-open shot. He is the absolute star of day one. Any of these other games, like, is there anything else really to talk about from yesterday? Everything went so chalk, except how boring Purdue is.
I didn't even watch that
game. I could just sit in silence on the radio for a minute, and it would be more interesting than a minute of Purdue basketball.
You got to feel good that they're in Tennessee's bracket.
I feel great about it. I also feel great that Villanova only scored 61 against St. Mary's and only won by 4. Everyone said Villanova is a team that's going to give Tennessee trouble because they shoot the 3 so well. They were 8 of 20, but if they're only going to shoot 20, I'll take that stat all day long. Apparently they're not very good inside, by the way. I'll take that too, because that's where we make our money. Today's schedule, like I mentioned, is infinitely better. Infinitely better. Cincinnati. Iowa.
Do you think Iowa, 15. Like, are you feeling better about Iowa after the Big 10's performance yesterday?
How can you not? How can you not? I mean, yeah. Granted, I mean, you know, we're kind of worried about having to play Cincy and Columbus. They have to do that today. But, yeah, man, I'm good. I'm good with that. Iowa, I'm starting to get a little worried that maybe I was sleeping on the Big 10 and maybe they were better and deeper than I thought and they just kind of beat each other up. But it's just hard to watch Big 10 teams, especially against themselves, and not see the complete athletic difference when you look at the ACC, the SEC, and compare them to the Big Ten.
Wisconsin will play Oregon today at 4:30. I think that'll be a good test to kind of just judge middle-of-the-pack Big 12, or Big Ten, excuse me. So what other?
I thought you had it pulled up. I'm sorry.
No, I do. Oh, Iowa State plays Ohio State. So, that's a late game.
That one could be good. Iowa State has been pretty impressive, frankly. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of games later that are going to be interesting. Like, does Virginia look like junk against Gardner-Webb? Ole Miss, Oklahoma, I think could be pretty intriguing. I think Ole Miss would be a really tough matchup for Virginia if Ole Miss plays the way they're capable of playing in that game. And obviously, if they get by Oklahoma today, that would be one I would definitely want to see. You mentioned Wisconsin, Oregon. Like, that will be a really good test for the Big Ten. If the Big Ten's legit, Wisconsin will beat Oregon. And if they're not, like, Oregon might just roll all over Wisconsin. Oregon, hot as a pistol right now. Kansas State, UC Irvine, don't really care. But I'm really glad that we kind of get to start today with the game of interest, watching Cincinnati and Iowa. I have not seen the updated BPI for that game. The line was close. I mean, spread was close. The BPI was close. Well, it actually looks like Cincinnati's jumped up. They're a four-point favorite now. I believe that was 3 or 3.5 the other day. So a little bit of money coming in on Cincinnati. I don't know. We'll see. It's hard. After yesterday, man, like, I'm scared to judge the Big Ten anymore. That was a pretty good first day.
I didn't see it coming.
I mean, outside of LSU, the SEC, I mean, they won, but they didn't look great. Like, Auburn did not look great against New Mexico State. I don't think Florida looked great, especially in the last, you know, 15 minutes or so against Nevada. So I'm hoping I didn't overstate the SEC and undersell the Big Ten all year. Big Ten, as I mentioned, 4-0. They got 3 games today. The SEC has 4 games today. Time will tell. Or maybe the SEC, did the SEC have 4 yesterday, or was it 3? Auburn, Florida, is 4 yesterday. So the SEC is 4-0 because Kentucky won, Florida won, Auburn won, and LSU won. So the SEC has 3 games today, and I think maybe it's the Big Ten today with 4, and they went 3-0 yesterday. So 7-0 between them. Not bad, especially considering I thought one conference was just total junk.
What do you think the BPI matchup is for Cincinnati and Iowa?
I'm looking at it, so I
cheated. Oh, you are? Okay.
60-40, though. I wonder, like, I know they factor in home court. Does Cincinnati get a boost in that number because it's in Ohio?
I don't think so.
This is, like, neutral floor straight up now.
Yeah, I've had some people kind of tweet in at me yesterday, and since we've kind of been talking about the whole, well, if Tennessee does beat Colgate, they're having to play Cincinnati in Columbus, and, like, Cincinnati struggles to really –
That's not
be a favor in their own city.
I was gonna say, man, like, that's not, it's not a big fan base. They've got a passionate pocket of fans, but it's not a diehard Cincinnati Bearcats town.
If Cincinnati wins and Tennessee wins, who's Butch Jones rooting for?
Ew. Got to be Cincy. Like, he left them on his own. We fired him. Right?
Yeah.
Of course, we're still paying him. So does that count? Like, would he root for us because we're still paying?
I don't think he cares.
Like, the more money we make, the less
he's
likely
moving up in the world. Just
we have to default on the
payment. Constantly getting to talk with the big names in football, with Bill Belichick. And
I saw that he's
Nick Saban.
He just sidled right up next to him again.
I want to say the best. If you didn't see it, like, at Alabama's pro day, Bill Belichick came in, and there's a picture of Nick Saban.
They gave him an Alabama pullover to wear.
Yeah,
which I thought was tacky.
And Butch are all standing there together, and of course, someone's like, caption this photo, and I believe Ryan McGee was just like, all right, like, as if he's in the mind of Butch Jones, hold hand to mouth where everyone can see your tax slayer ring.
He did not have his tax slayer
ring. I don't think he did, but.
Please, God. Tell me that was like his Ferris State class ring, his football wide receiver never played ring.
I'll try to find
it. Not the tax slayer bowl ring. We need to go to break so you can find out what ring he had on. We'll be back next segment, breaking down Tennessee Colgate. Final segment, hour number one, 3 and out. We were going to talk Colgate, Tennessee, but there has been a little bit of breaking news out of Tuscaloosa. I hate it when people do this, but last night on Twitter, a few folks were tweeting out, you know, big rumors out of Tuscaloosa. It's burning down, and I always just hope it's football. You know, Butch Jones is there, so, like, really the opportunity always exists. And I'm thinking Nick Saban's retiring. They've named the replacement. It's Lyle Allen. Let's ride. No, just the absolute expected rumor coming true, which is that Avery Johnson and Alabama are negotiating his buyout after Alabama's embarrassing doesn't seem like a strong enough word, but they lost 80-79 to Norfolk State in the opening round of the NIT. Alabama, this game was at home, because they are the number one, well, were the number one overall seed in the NIT. Norfolk State, according to KenPom, was the 258th best team in the country. I think this is the worst team that Alabama has lost to in basketball in, like, a like 20 years, 30 years.
It's that bad.
It's bad. It's a really bad team. As it stands, wow. As it stands, Avery Johnson is owed $8 million if fired before April 15th of this year. Man, they couldn't just wait 2 weeks. It drops to $6 million after that. My guess is they're going to probably negotiate that down to six, maybe five, four. I don't know. Otherwise, they're just going to wait 16 days and roll them then. But yeah, Avery Johnson, so long. Had a good run with Colin Sexton, though. You know, pretty good job.
It's one and done, man.
75-62 is his record in four seasons. One NCAA tournament appearance. Obviously, that was the Colin Sexton show.
I will say that Avery Johnson talked that he had met with athletics director Greg Byrne.
Yeah, said he wanted to be there.
On or before the Norfolk State game. Mm.
Greg Byrne probably wanted him there before the Norfolk State game. Fan base, too. He's a likable guy. I really like Avery Johnson. I don't think he's a bad coach. I don't know what it is. I don't know if this is college concepts not meshing with his kind of NBA mentality. I don't know if it's struggling to understand what other teams are doing. Like, they're talented, but they don't have a lot of, like, leadership. They've got a lot of young guys that I think are pretty good. We all saw what John Petty did to Tennessee, but they really just were inconsistent kind of all year. I mean, they beat Alabama, and then who was it they lost to late in the year? Did they lose to Arkansas?
Probably.
Late in the game that they absolutely, like, choked away? So, Alabama going to be back on the coaching search market here very, very soon, as it appears Avery Johnson on his way out. I mean, what did you say? He was the 19th highest paid coach in the country?
Yeah, this past season. What was the figure? He made $3.062 million last year. So that put him, as the 19th highest paid coach in the country.
I'm not trying to be mean here, but, like, is this a little quick for Alabama? Like, that's not like a basketball rich, you know, like, tradition-wise. I mean, that's not a program with just, like, this amazing history, and we win here no matter what. Now, they are paying him a lot of money, and maybe that's one of the main reasons. Like, hey, we're not going to pay you this much if you're only going to give us, you know, number one seeds in the NIT losses to Norfolk State.
After the game on Wednesday night, Avery Johnson said in a press conference, "I love being the coach here at Alabama. That's my plan. I made that crystal clear to Greg in our meeting," which was on Saturday.
That makes it worse.
"And hopefully they feel the same way, but I'm committed to it. I still have time left, obviously, on my contract."
I like how he reminds him that his contract was extended.
He's done.
Like, what's the move now if you're Alabama? You know what I think this is? I think that he was about to get tied up in some NCAA stuff, and I think they wanted to fire him now to keep the eyes off of Nick Saban. That's what I think. I think Avery Johnson went out and got some five-star talent. He was trying to do it again because he got to the tournament, and he liked that when he got the extension. Alabama found out, and they were going to say, "Buddy, you're gone. We can't have the NCAA sniffing around Tuscaloosa. We got to protect Nick." That's what I think happened. I think Avery Johnson's the scapegoat here. He's taking the fall, well, for Nick, but also for himself. Because my guess is he got busted. He might have got wiretapped, too. Like, he might be a name that we hear later down the road.
Do they have any, like, big-time recruits coming in? Like, I mean, I haven't heard of any big names being like, yeah.
Got to be honest, man. Don't follow Alabama Crimson Tide basketball recruiting that closely.
I don't blame you.
So.
I don't think anybody does.
I don't even think Alabama fans do. Half of them didn't even know who Colin Sexton was until halfway through the season. I'm just saying, like, is 4 years – doesn't that seem weird to you? Like, is – 1 year removed from a tournament run. They almost made it this year. Like, I don't think you can judge a coach off what he does in the NIT. I mean, they were a one seed. You know, all things considered. I mean, if you're going to be in the NIT, you might as well be the number one overall seed.
They have three four-stars committed.
I'm back on my theory then.
He
got caught cheating by Alabama, and they're going to roll him before the NCAA comes sniffing around the athletics department.
Man, they got three top 100 players right now.
I rest my case.
Nationally, they're ranked 19th in the country. They're 5th in the SEC. They currently, according to 24/7, have the 73rd, 88th, and 98th best player in the country.
Where are those players from?
South Carolina, Mississippi, and California.
You think we can get in with that South Carolina guy? What does he do?
Juwan Gary, he's from Gray Academy in Columbia, South Carolina. He's a
right out of Columbia?
Says he's
You're telling me Frank Martin didn't get that guy?
6'6", small forward.
Avery.
200 pounds.
Avery got caught cheating, yo. Done. Hour two next.